Hello, everybody. Requiescat in pace, Sandy Gal. Sir Sandy Gal, or is it Gaul? Has been summoned to his reward to the great big newsroom in the sky at the age of 97. Now, he retired a long time ago, but he's best known as the independent television news correspondent from Afghanistan in the 1980s, reporting in Pakistan in the 70s. Famously interviewed Muhammad Zia al-Haq, who was the chief martial law administrator of Pakistan in 1979, asked him about the upcoming execution of Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, former president and prime minister of Pakistan, who was hanged in 1979. And Sandy Gal saying to Zia al-Haq, have you spoken to the judge about it? Said, no, I haven't spoken to him. Is that the way it works in England? So he was quite humorous, this military dictator. Anyway, Gal, he spoke received pronunciation. He was North British. Because he'd been to an independent school, Glenarmond, in those days it wasn't surprising, he talked posh. So he was born in what was then British Malaya. He thinks his father was a planter. And so he was lucky to come back to Britain before the Second World War, because, of course, in February 1942, the Japanese seized Penang, where they'd grown up, and all British civilians were interned. A great number of them died in horrific conditions, 3.5 years of more or less servitude. So anyway, he went to Glenarmond. I think it's still all boys in very rural Scotland that Gladstone had set up apparently in the 1870s, because they thought too many Scots lairds that their sons going to Eton to establish a North British equivalent. Anyway, he excelled in sports. He was tall, he was spare. And a lot of kudos accrued to him because of that. In those days, there was national service, as in almost all boys, as I said, some sort of medical exemption or a conscientious objective status. They had to do 2.5 years service in the armed forces. They could elect for the army, the Royal Navy, the Royal Air Force. They wouldn't necessarily get their first choice. Sometimes be slotted into a regiment for this reason or that. Anyways, in the Royal Air Force in Berlin, remember, it's just after the Second World War, when Germany was occupied, there wasn't even independent, wasn't even allowed a government in 1949. So he was there, and being physically fit, he was a PT, a physical training instructor. And he left that, went to University of Aberdeen, where he read French and German. And German, obviously, he'd been able to brush that up in Germany. And German is a much more useful language back then than it is today. It's not like today, with 50% of Germans speak English, even if not fluently. It was much lower in the 1950s when he graduated. And of course, in Eastern Europe, obviously the Soviets were imposing Russian, but in Poland, Czechoslovakia, which then existed, Hungary and so forth, the main foreign language was German, a hangover from the days of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. And likewise in Scandinavia, they're just switching over to English as their main foreign language. So he wrote for the Press and Journal, which is the main newspaper in Grampian, before being a foreign correspondent. He was there at the end of the Belgian Congo and things like that. So, yeah, he was a very adventuresome type, and he was their man in trouble spots. He went to Uganda, and he was apprehended on the orders of the tyrant there, Idi Amin, and so on. So he was in many hairy situations. He traveled to the United States a lot. He was one of the main people to report on the wedding of Charles and Diana. What was really famous for is about reporting from Afghanistan. Remember, 1979, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan. It was already under a communist dictator, but they didn't like this one. And it was a hilarious situation when the Afghan cook was a Soviet agent. He poisoned whatever president. And then the Soviets, another Soviet group of apparatchiks, not realize that he'd been poisoned on Soviet orders, to try to save him, and actually managed to save him. And later they burst into that palace and shot him dead, part of a palace coup. The Soviets thought they had to put their clunking fist in that, push him aside, have somebody else who's more amenable, willing to be a pawn of Moscow. Anyway, and the Mujahideen fought back, some of whom were religious maniacs. So then he actually went on with the Mujahideen, with them behind the lines. And of course, Afghanistan's pretty underdeveloped back now. But back then, outside of Kabul, almost nobody had electricity or running water. It was very rough and ready, going by horse, camel, donkey, things like that. And obviously, it was not that long after the end of the British Raj. So he was a household name by the 1980s. He's very venturesome. And This Is Your Life, Surprise. And that show that was it usually surprise presented by Eamon Andrews, a Dubliner, surprising him and saying, "This is your life," and bring him on stage and bringing out people he hadn't seen for years, hear their voices, they come up on stage and reminisce and so on. So yeah, and he presented this show about Sarah Ferguson, then Duchess of York. I know she's very out of fashion, but she's fairly popular in the 1980s, seen as a bit of a breath of fresh air, a less histrionic version of Princess Diana, and so on. And then Afghanistan was largely forgotten about in the 90s after the Soviet withdrawal, but then it came back into the news after 9/11. He's often asked to recall what was going on, to provide analysis, because he was seen as an Afghanistan old hand on the destruction of the Buddhist of Bamiyan and so on. So he was married for years and years, had four children. Then he retired a long time ago, and he published numerous books about his travels, about George Adamson, that guy who used to sort of live with lions in Kenya, a white Briton who'd go up to them without any protection and more or less befriend them, who was fearless, maybe mindless, and so on. So he was scintillating. He had a good relationship with Ahmad Shah Massoud, who was a Tajik Afghan and one of the major figures in the Mujahideen. Sherat-i-Panjshir, or the lion, the Panjshir, but Panjshir obviously means five lions, that valley, a bit north of Kabul, where he held out, although sometimes had truces with the Soviets. Seen as one of the more moderate figures in the Mujahideen, which is a highly relative term, and spoke fluent French, but not other languages. He visited Paris. Wouldn't be up keen on laïcité. And Ahmed Shah Massoud, he was assassinated the day before 9/11, was at Al Qaeda doing that as a gift to the Taliban to then shelter them about what was well, because of what was about to happen. And then Ahmed Shah Massoud, when Afghanistan became a free country, when NATO was there, he was turned into like the national hero. That is Sandy Gal, but not many public appearances for years. So lived a very healthy life despite going to some very dangerous places, very physically fit. Has passed away at 97. So then he got to watch telly in the United Kingdom occasionally in the 1980s. Even I knew who Sandy Gal was, as in Alexander. But in Scotland, if your name is Alexander, that's often abbreviated as Sandy. So will be sorely missed, the voice of reason and authority, of dispassionate analysis, without ever being dull. So universally respected, usually liked, was able to get on with all sorts of walks of people in all sorts of different countries. A very venturesome person, a man of the most extraordinary intrepidity who left his mark on the history of the late 20th century. Anyway, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. And yeah, so contact me, direct message me if you want a tour guide or any tutoring in history, politics, religious studies, citizenship, English language, English literature, English as a foreign language, IELTS, law, anything of that nature, French to a very low level, GCSE, A level, various things. Thank you and goodbye.